Now, you spent some time in New York City. I think the first time you were there was in 81 when you were a student at Calvin.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Then you returned again within the last few years.
Yeah, we. I lived there out of when I left Calvin between college and graduate school. I lived there for a year in the early 80s or mid 80s. And then we moved our family back in 2005 and lived there for a year again in Brooklyn this time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was. That was something we took us 3 years of planning to pull off. And it was, you know, it changed us forever as a family.
And what are the most important ways that New York City impacted you?
Well, we were talking before we were on the air a little bit about that stubborn, traditional pragmatism of Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
You know, we felt like we were just hitting a cultural ceiling at a certain point. And when we went to New York, for that time as a family, it was a time to spread our wings further and grow a few more inches on our wingspan. Because I think it was Richard Florida said that a city like Grand Rapids tolerates the eccentrics. A city like Grand Rapids, like New York City, celebrates their eccentrics.
Right.
You know, so you have somebody like, I mean, you can imagine what it would have been like for Andy Warhol to try to get some traction in Grand Rapids.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
back in the
back
day,
in his
it wouldn't have happened.
It wouldn't have happened.
No,
so, so being in New York was this place where, you know, you're on the playground and you're talking to the person next to you and she's on her fifth novel, you know, and the other person is, you know, a studio assistant for Julian Schnabel or something.
Sure.
And, but in a sense, it wasn't our home. It was sort of like graduate school for the whole family.
Right.
So coming back to Grand Rapids, it was like to say, okay, that was fantastic, but this is our home. This is where our taproot is. Now, how do we help tease out what Grand Rapids really wants to be and mm-hmm. what it's meant to be? And that's what we're all about now.
Right. And where else do you think you'd like to go where you might have a similar experience at some point?
You know, we've talked about going to Europe. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked to, we were trying to create a year in Italy. I would love to experience that in the Netherlands, where my family is, you know, from. A big part of my story is in the Netherlands. I'd really like to find a way to spend, you know, a good section of time there.
Sure, sure. One other thing I'd like to touch on is an artist. You used to do gallery showing, mm-hmm. sell
yeah.
through the galleries.
Yeah.
Now you do it all direct, correct?
Yeah, I do.
And what caused you to make that change and go in that direction?
Well, I know I worked with galleries all around the country in Seattle, in Nashville, in New York, and Chicago for 16 years at Ann Nathan. And I learned a lot from Ann Nathan. She's an amazing woman, and she's had a gallery for years and years. But what I started to not like was the way that the galleries really took over all the relationship building for the artists. In fact, even kind of protected you from the collectors,
right.
So the collectors don't go directly to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that relationship feels very fertile that month before your show. But then after that, you know, you don't really hear much from your gallery and a lot of it drops off.
Right.
And you know, I'm from a line of tulip bulb exporters and salesmen. I've got that sales guy inside me, and
sure.
I wanted to grab a hold of that and take control of it. And with the advent of the internet and websites, and
it's perfect for that.
It is. You know, I mean, I attach a JPEG to a email and send it to a collector, and she says, "How much is this?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I started getting into the situation of, okay, I can sell this $6,000 painting to my collector, or do I take it to the gallery and let Ann sell it for $5,000, give a preferred customer discount 10%, and then give me half of what's left over.
Right.
And I just started to say, you know, I can't afford to do that anymore because I'm a full-time working artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have a teaching gig at Grand Valley. I have to pay the bills every month. And I found this was more expedient for me. And it's really kind of frankly a new model because the media that we have, the technology we have now, didn't exist when I started, you know,
right.
in the early 90s.
This is Paul Jindrasiak with Sunday Morning Town Square, and we've been joined by Rick Bierhorst. Rick Bierhorst is a musician and artist here in Grand Rapids, and if you want to check out his art and his music, you can go to studiobierhorst.com. That's B-E-E-R-H-O-R-S-T. Thanks for joining us, Rick.
It's great to be here, Paul.